Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out many demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Acts 19, verse 11 to 20. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them and the evil spirits came out to them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Acts 27, verses 1 and 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling, and he will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock.
Thank you, Lana. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're here in your presence. And so we slow down to recognize what you're doing in this moment, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you want to speak to us and be so powerful, but yet so personal in this moment. Would you come and have your way, Holy Spirit? You're so welcome. We want to chew on the word of God today to really understand you more. And everyone who agrees says, amen, amen. So you can see this series that we're going through is talking about sacred space. And we're going to do things maybe a little bit differently than we usually do in the beginning. So it's okay. If you're new here for the first time, it's all right. Everybody else who's come here more than once is, you know, in the new territory too. So we're just going to take time, if we can, to just be still before God and just be in his presence. The lights are going to come down, and there might be some images that are playing on the screens, and someone's going to play just some music. But God may talk to you in this moment in a phrase or in some of the images you see or even in the song that is played. But we're going to pray, and then I might ask you some just reflective questions after. And so I encourage you, the one thing that I ask is that we just stay silent just so that we can reduce distraction in this space. Is that okay? So I'll pray and then we'll get right into it just for a few minutes and then we'll continue on. So Father, thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to us. We recognize your presence. We slow down for you. Come and have your way, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You can continue to stay in that atmosphere and we'll just go through from here. How did you go? How was that experience for you? Was it awkward, clear, something that you're familiar with, or something that's not quite known? And if I could ask you this question, how would you describe your relationship with God? If you used just one term, what would it be? And do you think that the Father would say the same to you? Why or why not? The title of my message this morning is the Beauty of the King's Kinship. So we're going to slow things down to understand that there's a beautiful relationship that I dare say that God wants to bring us into and be aware of, that in this beautiful union of connecting with someone who has such power but wants to be so personal, that there's an opportunity for us to grow deeper in knowing not only who he is but who we are and how to interact with one another. And so I'm going to, from the outset, just acknowledge, I sense from the Lord there's two groups of people. One group who, I don't know what you're talking about. This is new. She seems weird. That how can someone that is not be able to be seen physically can really want a relationship with me? What is that? What did I just step into? And for others, the other group is those who, I get it, she's talking about God's presence. Okay, tick, tick, let's move on. But we meet together in that there's an understanding of a beauty of God's presence and a vulnerability that he wants to walk with us together in seeing. So I know that Lana, thank you, Lana, that was a lot of scripture. I was like, praise you, Jesus. But we're going to go through the scripture real slowly and just linger where God wants us to linger. So we're going to anchor most of our time in Psalm 27. And Psalm 27 reads the beginning, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Scholars say that they believe that David was the one that wrote this psalm. The Lord, or in the original text in Hebrew, he says, Yahweh, the one true God, is my light and my salvation. Whew. For some of you who don't really know this scripture, it's pretty familiar. It's like a magnet one, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The Lord is my light and my salvation. There you go. But have you considered how powerful it is for David to say that? His understanding of his relationship with God. The Lord, Yahweh, the one true God, is my light and my salvation. Light in the Hebrew speaks of literally light, sun, S-U-N, and exposing things from darkness and putting them into the light. But he doesn't just expose things from darkness into the light, but he is also salvation. He can rescue and deliver you from things that are in the darkness. Do you know that he is your light and salvation today? David is saying, in an understanding of his relationship, I'm confident in this psalm to know that Yahweh, the one true God, is my light. Those things that Pastor Henry laid last week, I encourage you, if you haven't seen that, please feel free to look at that video on our social media. But those things that are considered not yielding good fruit, that are maybe in the darkness. See, everybody, let me just keep it real, looks good in the dark. Come on, somebody. Everything looks good. You can't really see, like, I can maybe see the back corner, but I don't really know specifically the intricate parts and details of, like, Mikey's face from here. Sorry, Mikey, just going to use you as an example. But until we put the light on, see the light coming here, then you can see my, you know. Yes, thank you, 31. I know it. I'm walking in it. Thank you, Lord. But then you can see the imperfections, the intricacies. He does it in a way not to say, there's the light, there's all the things that are wrong with you. But he says, and you're my salvation. I know that you will rescue me, that you can deliver me, that you can save me from whatever darkness I'm walking in, from whatever that you're exposing are some roots that are not yielding good fruit. So therefore, then he moves on to say, then whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear in the original, yes, speaks of reverence to God, but mostly speaks of what circumstance can dictate me. No matter what my family has said about me, no matter what situation I face, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? And the original speaks of reverence to God. No one else can label me because God knows who I am. And if he brings things up in the light, it's maybe because he knows that he can rescue me. See, in the beauty of King's kinship, in the connection and relationship with God, it eliminates superficial spirituality. If you've done this for a while and maybe aren't sure of where you stand or who you are or what you're called to do, it cuts out the rubbish. Even if this is for your first time and says, are you sure of who you are? Because David was sure of who God is in his life. You are my light and my salvation. And you could take it of like, oh, well, whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? I'm just going to go do whatever I want. Correction. Let me be clear. Of whom shall I fear? David, just so you know, background info of him, bless him. He's a celebrity in like the Bible or the people know in Christianity. But also, David's been in situations. Anybody know? He has been in predicaments that haven't always placed him in a place of reverence or a place of relationship with God. Yet he is described as a man after God's own heart. So it assures you of where you stand, of who you are, and who God is. That's why we can say and see in verse 2, right? It reads, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, when adversaries and foes, even though he has a relationship with God, there are people that are sometimes against him. Check that. It is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, the battle is on. My heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Yet I will trust. And then we see here where Lana read, one thing that I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Do you know how to dwell? What does it look like, sound like? One thing that I have asked of the Lord or seek after, I think it's interesting to know that it's not a place of you have arrived. It's not I've sought him, therefore I already am in that spot. I am seeking and I have asked. Some versions say, one thing that I desire, you haven't found it yet. It's still a race and a journey and a beauty in it to see more of it, but to dwell in the house of the Lord. Have you ever gone to a person's house, a friend or a relative, and you had planned to just, hey, hi and bye, we'll just check in, see how everyone is, and then we'll tap out. But then for some reason, lunch happens, dinner happens, coffee and tea happens, we're just enjoying everyone's company. You in some way, shape, or form from the relationship felt like you could stay. I've grown up in sometimes where, you know, my mother, bless her, has said, don't overstay your welcome, girl. Like, know when it's time to stage left. But if you've been around those circumstances, it's because you understand that your interactions with the host, you're vibing like, you want me here. It's cool. We're good to hang. There's beauty in being with the Father. Dwelling means to remain. I had a break recently, and I went over to Fiji. Bulubanaka, save, save. It was beautiful. And for the life of me, to begin with, I could not slow down. I had put things in play. I had made sure everybody had all that they needed. And then literally the day before, did you do this? Have you done this? Da-da-da-da. I was like, oh my goodness. I'm pretty sure that I put things in play that it would be all sorted and I could just go. But it didn't happen that way. So I was like, okay, let's just get it done. And then for the first couple of days, I don't know if this has been your experience by being on a holiday, I slept. I was just like the whole entire time. Like my mom was like, you want to go out? But really, we were both sleeping together. Thank you, Lord. Because we were just resting and just being like, maybe some snoring. But, you know, don't judge me. No questions asked, no judgment passed. And so then we finally get to this place where I'm just, whew, thank you, Lord. just slowing down. And then I look over at Mom, she's doing her own thing. I'm over here doing my own thing. And then we do this thing. We do this. And that means love you in between my mother and I. There you go. Secrets exposed. And so we did this, and I said to God in that moment, I was like, Lord, just thank you. Thank you that I can have this moment with her here in this place. And I sensed the Holy Spirit just say, that's beautiful that you can do that with your mother. Why can't you do that with me? And I recognized I haven't been slowing down for him. I know what it means to ask God, I'm going to keep it real, of what he's doing in a worship moment. I know how to ask him of, Lord, what are you doing in my career? Of how do I put this in submission? I know what it means to ask him of, what are you doing in this moment? But I struggled to be with him. There's a difference in just being with God. No agenda. There's no way. He's not trying to manipulate the situation or be that awkward friend that's like, be my friend, be my friend, be my friend. But just wants to be with you. And it drove me to a beautiful moment of repentance because I could have missed it. And I saw, if I can say of the images, one half of the image, but yet I didn't see the other. And I sense that the Lord is challenging us this morning to recognize, do we know how to dwell in the house, to be with the Father? Let's move on. So one thing that I ask of the Lord and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, how long? All the days of my life. See, if you're wondering sometimes why you have that moment and seasons, and then other seasons you're like, oh my gosh, like, where is God? Like the moment I had, then you're in the right place, because you never arrive. It says, how long? All the days of my life. It's a continuing journey. But I also venture to say that if you're not comfortable with being in his presence now, then I would venture to say you won't like heaven. That's the point of it. But there's an opportunity to grow in understanding the beauty of being with him and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. When's the last time you gazed upon the beauty? And I finally took time to, and I've not been this person, but to look at creation. If you're looking to want to see God's beauty, look out. For me, I looked up. I'm fascinated by clouds. Another confession. I don't know what's coming out of my mouth. The Holy Spirit is just, okay. I'm comfortable. But I'm fascinated by clouds at the moment. Their vastness. Have you ever recognized they're so fast? They're super fast. And they could be these huge, you know, like thunderstorms or clouds, or they could be these like dainty little like wispy clouds. But God is also like the strength of a mountain, but the whisper in a wind. It's just fascinating to me. For Ecclesiastes says, for everything is made beautiful in its time. For its time is actually his time. And there are so many people in history, in the Bible, that continue to show what it means to be in God's presence. You're not sure? Let me help you. Abraham. Abraham had such an encounter with God that he first was Abram, then he turned to Abraham because he was known now as the father of many nations, and was even considered in James as what? A friend of God, being with him. Moses, in Exodus, it speaks of his face shone because he was up in the mountains. He saw the glory of God and his face changed. David, a man after God's own heart. Daniel, we read in the light of Babylon. I encourage you to see back at that series. In Daniel 6, right? He prayed to God three times as he had done previously. It illustrated how and what to do to be with him. You could say, okay, well, that's just Old Testament. I'm in the New, girl. Okay, let's go New Testament. Saul's encounter in Damascus. Now, for those who don't know, Saul was a murderer. He murdered Christians. Yeah, aren't you glad you're living in this moment now? Thank you, Lord. But he murdered Christians, yet God met him in Damascus and took away his physical abilities to see for 3 days. He had an encounter with God to pray. And as such, Ananias was obedient to follow what God was saying and met him there, baptized him, and now the murderer has now changed to the one who literally wrote many books of the New Testament, the moment of being with God. And, of course, Mary. Mary would sit at Jesus' feet while Martha runs around as her sister and considers that as important, to see the beauty of the Lord. So you might say, okay, so what you're really saying to me is I need to ship my kids up find a time in my schedule, ship my kids up to some mountain, Instagram the moment, hashtag Psalm 27, and then peace out. Is that what you're saying to me? Like, what are you saying? But I think sometimes when we come to these moments, we ask, what can I do? How am I going to make it happen? How am I going to push my way into God's presence? But I dare to say there's another question. It is how? How are you responding when God invites you to be with him? And to help, I'm not trying to label anybody, but just to bring us into a moment of that you can take this on a Monday and beyond, of how are you wired? Do you recognize when God is inviting us into being with him? Do you welcome it with hesitation? It's okay if you do. Ignore it completely. Hello, that's usually how I respond. Or resist it completely. Or do you enter in? To be honest, my Fiji trip, don't tell my mother this, I recognized I was grateful to be away, but I didn't need to be away. Can I say it like that? It was good to be in Fiji because I needed to be separated from my schedule, but the moment with God could have happened here. But he had to take me out of what I know to then reposition me back. How are you responding? This may be your Fiji moment. How are you wired? And this might recognize where you start from to where we grow into. See, if we're not recognizing this, then we'll act like, okay, we just keep doing it. We just keep going. It'll work it out. Let's read on. One thing that I have asked of the Lord. I'm repeating because it's so necessary to say the word. One thing that I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Teach us how to dwell, God, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In inquiring in his temple, I venture to say, for me anyway, is easier because it's like, Lord, what are you doing in ministry? What are you doing on campus? I inquire in his temple because it can help me in understanding how to best lead others. What am I fulfilling in my purpose? And it helps us also know how to sustain and empower us in our calling. Inquiring is necessary. Hello, somebody. Inquiring is necessary, but being with the Father is even more important. And though I might say lead, and you might automatically think maybe ministry, we are all leading in every area of our life. Whether you lead in your family, lead in your own, like leading yourself of how your journey is with God, and leading in general lifestyle, leading in your career, though you may not have a position or a title that says leader, manager, team leader, but yet you are being an example of an ambassador of Christ. But the inquirer can come from a place of knowing, I know who he is, so when he asks me to walk in obedience, when he brings light on some things that I need to have to walk through and surrender, then it's easier because I know he wants the best for me. This, I venture to say, in Acts is a warning to us. This is an example of what it means to not have it all together, as in like not prioritize the time of relationship with God. And I'm not, there's no shade to these people because, hello, I just had this moment in Fiji. And maybe you're having this moment as well of just understanding what God is talking to us about. But he says here, and God was doing extraordinary miracles in Acts by the hands of Paul. By the hands of who? Paul. Yeah, God was moving in Paul. So much so that it says in verse 12, even the handkerchiefs people were trying to get a hold of. It was like Elvis Presley, you know, when they used to like set all the merchandise out of like things that he would touch, but much more reverent, just saying. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims. How many of you know if you have to add Paul to Jesus and then you add like Samantha and Edwina and Mikey and I don't know, Pastor Tina, you don't really recognize the name of Jesus and the power and authority that is in that name. If you have to add names onto Jesus, there's an understanding that you're not aware of the relationship or who God is. Yet they do this, and they are seven sons of who? Jewish high priests. They know the law. They know the Bible. Well, the Old Testament, at least. But the evil spirit answered them. Jesus I know. Catch this. The evil spirit is saying, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize. But who are you? Even darkness recognizes authority. The name of Jesus has authority over heaven and earth. And then as a result of that, the spirit leapt out, just overtook everything, the opposite of what we saw in Psalms. David was confident that though his enemies come around, I know the Lord is my light and my salvation. But as a result of not having relationship, they were overwhelmed and overtaken. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was still extolled. God still had his way, because grace still abounds. 18. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together. God was being doing a work within them. See, if we're not careful, without relationship with Jesus, we toil in vain. That passage just there, that Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. May I be very clear. Yes, we are called on mission, but we are first called to be with God. And I sense from the Lord that this is the time that we need to understand or be more aware of what it means to be with him. How are you responding today? Because the house of the Lord is always there. His presence is always there. The beauty of the Lord is still there to be seen. Our response is the thing that differs. So I saw this image and I thought it was just beautiful. And it is an image of when Jesus is baptized. Because I asked the Lord, so what's the point? Because that's a fair question. Some people might ask, what's the point of this relationship? This thing that is intangible cannot be seen. Okay, if I really want to welcome but with hesitation, what's the end goal here? And all I can give you is the example of when Jesus is baptized. Because I venture to say that God shows us in relationship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit what it looks like to be. So Jesus is in a moment, just if you're not sure, where he is being baptized by John the Baptist. He is the one that would be on your right. And so as he has done, it says in Matthew that John is like, who am I that you would want me to baptize you? Like, hello, you're fully God, fully human, you're Jesus. But Jesus says, it's necessary for me to walk in righteousness and to be an example of what it means. I'm paraphrasing. Please feel free to look at that. That's Matthew 4, just saying. And so as such, Jesus is baptized, and then the voice of the Lord, the heavens open, and the voice of the Lord says, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." God could say anything. God could say, "This is Jesus, of whom I'm well pleased." Yet he says, he does what? He acknowledges the relationship. He says, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And the dove then descends on Jesus as an imagery of the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, I venture to say, this is the invitation that God gives us. That the Father is wanting to define this relationship that he has with you and wants to have with you. See, we were made and created in his image. We had a responsibility, but because of sin, because of the fall and disobedience, we have now been separated from him. And as a result, the penalty was death. Yet Jesus walked from birth to death, a perfect life, knowing how and what it would look like to walk with God daily. And we now have the Holy Spirit with us, who is wanting to restore and walk in redemption, like understand redemption to say that we are redeemed and set free from those things that are in darkness and to be restored now into perfect eternal life. Will we get to know this beauty of being with him, being in his presence, and being empowered then to walk out and walk on mission? So the invitation is yours today. I would be amiss to gloss over the fact that God wants and desires a relationship with you. It's for his glory. And notice in David, though he knows, "Lord, you are my light and my salvation," does it then say that there are like peaches and he just skips on through like Barbie, the new movie, and acts like nothing happened? No, he's still like in the fight. But he's with God. And he's learning of what it means to know who he is, of whom God says he is, and to know God for real. So we're going to take time to ask the question, how are we responding when God invites you to be with him? And if we could take time to first just slow down and wait upon the Lord, and then when you're ready, to just discuss it with those that are beside you. Know that this is a safe space, and we can pray into understanding, "God, I recognize where I am, and I recognize where you want me to be. I'm challenged today to understand what it means to be with you." Let me pray for you, church. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the deep revelation that you want to dwell. You are dwelling, and sometimes we are not. So, Father, we slow down to your place. We recognize, Lord Jesus, your presence. Would you come and would you have your way? Just at this time, if this is the first time you've heard this idea that God wants to have a relationship with you, the invitation is here. And so if you want to walk this out, we would love to walk this out with you. But it's first recognizing that the Lord is your Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, then that begins a journey of understanding what that means. And so I'm just going to count to three. And if that's you today, that you feel that God is speaking to you to say, "Hey, I want to walk this out with you, bro, or us. My daughter, it's time." I'm going to count to three, and if you feel comfortable, just to raise your hands. I'd love to pray with you. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If we can, just repeat after me. Father, thank you that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. I acknowledge that I've hurt you, that I've put some things in front of knowing who you are. But I confess now that you are my Lord and my Savior. Would you come into my life? Would you teach me how to dwell with you and how to walk in mission to what you're calling me to do in this life that you give me? Thank you that I get to walk with you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.